101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fane, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
Hello. Hello.
Really? That's wait a minute. Hi. That's how you're opening it?
No, I'm there not opening the show that way. No, it's a swerve.
Okay.
Fish.
Hi.
You got me. Oh, what's going on, Las Vegas and around the world? Tuning into the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN.
Mark Hoke Show.
Mark Hoke Show. Where's John Lindquist? I should have John. You know what we should do? John Lindquist does the opens, and he now has the open for SportsX Radio as well, which, of course, Andrew Fish Fane here co-hosts on Monday.
Yay.
And I should just have John come in here and do voice effects during the show. One time.
That would be awesome.
One time. I mean, we could give him a bell.
It'd be almost as good as having Joe DeFalco on the show.
Who?
Almost.
Who?
There he is.
Guys are so loud, you're waking me up.
That's the whole point. Andrew Fish Fane over there, Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling, and your humble host, Mark Hoke. The best in professional wrestling news and entertainment. Wow, Fish, you jumped from the microphone like you wanted to say something.
Yeah,
is there something you want to say?
Well, just the fact you called yourself humble.
Oh, whatever. I'm not gonna see. That's the thing. You know, even though I do my best, you know, I can't really say it because when you say it, you sound
you're no
like
longer
a
humble. Yeah, and that kind of loses all humility.
Yeah, so we'll just pass on that. Joe DeFalco is humble.
I am.
I would love to be in the DeFalco household on Sundays at about 7:50, just to see if he's actually awake.
Oh, I'm not. The alarm went off at 8 o'clock, and I wasn't sure. I thought it was the phone ringing, and then I realized it was the alarm. And then I came downstairs, and you know, pretty much the wife and kid are sleeping, so of course. There's nothing going on. So you meant 7:50 at night. There might be some movement in the house.
Well, we're going to bring you all the news that's fit to print here in the world of pro wrestling. But I got to say, no major pay-per-views this week. No one got fired.
Future endeavored, please.
Kind of a weird week. Since we've been doing this show, there's been something crazy going on literally every week. So this is the first time we actually get to breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, it's December, so WWE's nice. They'll wait till January 3rd before they fire more people.
Although there is War Games tonight.
War Games tonight. We had the NWA Hard Times was last night.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got to say it was
only 8 title matches.
I was a little underwhelmed. No title changes on that card.
Wait,
0-8.
8 title matches and not a single change?
Not a single title change.
But what's even worse is there was 8 title matches and there were still other matches on the show.
Yeah, it was.
But Joe, when you're booking a show, if you're doing 8 title matches, shouldn't you at least have 1 title change?
You should. You know, we had 3 at the last show. That's a big deal. It was, you know, you're presenting it as a big show, but, you know. Mike Knox, he worked our very first show many, many years ago. You know, are you really going to put the belt on him? He just showed up in the NWA. You know what I mean? And then, you know, there's an Impact belt and there's a Ring of Honor belt. And it's like, hey, Taven and Bennett are going to wrestle the Briscoes at Final Battle. Now it's like, oh, if Taven and Bennett win, they're going to. And it's like, yeah, you know, they're not going to win. So it's like, why even bother having the match?
I like Matt Taven, by the way. Matt Taven's talented.
Their promo is I love their promo.
They, you know, they that and Mike Bennett, those guys are are a pretty good group. I hope they
I like Bennett a lot.
Yeah. So not a Taven fan?
Oh, who?
Never mind.
Actually, I think he was put in a bad position because when everybody kind of left, they tried to, like, leave him as the main guy, and it almost became like he was the scapegoat for Ring of Honor not doing that well after, you know, he won the title at Madison Square Garden. And, you know, that was built up for a long time, so they sold a lot of tickets, and they sold out, obviously. But Matt Taven, you know, it's kind of like when you follow, you know, who's the guy who followed Brett Favre and Cal Ripken and all these legends, and he was, like I said, he was the scapegoat for what was perceived as Ring of Honor not doing well.
Yeah, but Taven's a good guy. I always enjoy watching.
I didn't realize that A-Double was wrestling last night, though.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff going on last night.
Aries, I saw he's been making some posts, and I saw the reviews on the match. And you know, when Aries can go, he's one of the best. So you know, no surprise there.
You know, and I guess since we're on the NWA Hard Times card, just one thing I got to ask this, Joe, Austin Aries wrestled Rhett Titus in an NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship qualifying match. Is Rhett Titus a junior heavyweight?
I guess under their terms. I don't know. What is their class supposed to be? 225?
I guess it would be around there, but I'm curious to look at that. Because I know they're just restarting that title, but weird.
Well,
I just never thought of Rhett Titus as a junior heavyweight.
Well, I guess Dominic Mysterio was unavailable.
I suppose he was
too busy turning on his dad. Hey, there it is, another reference. Okay.
Jiminy Christmas.
Imagine Dominic Mysterio locking in with Eva Marie. What a combo that would be.
There you go. There's your tag team.
The world waits.
No, they don't. Not at all. Yeah, we might
have to bring him in if they're released by then, because she is. All we need is him, and they can wrestle Cross and Scarlet at the Mecca.
Oh, well, that'd be, yeah.
I know one ticket that would sell. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, just that NWA Hard Times. Trevor Murdoch did defend his NWA title against Mike Knox last night. So, but Austin and Idol's still around, you know, hanging around with Tyrus. I mean, but the fact that Austin Idol's still around, hey, good for him.
Like, how many titles do they have that Masters or Adonis has to have a title, which is great, but it's like Tyrus is how many North American type champions do they have?
There were matches on this card last night for the.
To you, he's Tyrus. To me, he'll always be Brodus Clay.
Well.
The Funkasaur.
Right. The sad part was that was the good old days of Tyrus.
Yeah. But they had a World Heavyweight Championship, the Women's World Heavyweight Championship, the Tag Team Championship, the NWA National Championship, the NWA World TV Championship, a singles match for the Impact Knockouts Championship, the ROH World Tag Team Championship was on there. The qualifiers for the NWA Junior Heavyweight Championship and a four-way for the NWA World Women's Tag Team.
I'm confused already.
Yeah.
And then they had Colby Carino had a match, and that was not even on the pre-show. That they had the most pre-show matches I think I've ever seen in the history of a pre-pay-per-view.
Yeah, so
they had like three matches there. So they had like 13 or 14 matches. But you know, I heard the 86 people that were there loved it.
Well, everybody got a paycheck last night, so congratulations. You know, fun show for the NWA. Getting to some other things that were going on in the world of wrestling, I found this week's Raw and SmackDown interesting for one thing that tied through them. And you know, I talked about a little bit of this last night, but I want to get you both of your takes on this. Referencing fired talent on the show, we had shots taken at Sarah Logan and Ruby Soho by Becky Lynch. We had John Morrison get a shot taken at him. We had on SmackDown. Now, I'm blanking.
It's Nia Jax and Eva Marie.
The Future Endeavors kick reference from Pat McAfee. While they were showing a piece of Nia Jax beating up Eva Marie and...
No, of Shayna Baszler.
Sorry, Shayna Baszler beating up Nia Jax.
Stepping on the elbow of both Eva Marie and Nia Jax, and Pat McAfee called it the Future Endeavors kick.
That, to me, and I'm just going to say my piece on it, I think it's tacky. I think that, you know, when people lose their jobs, it's not a laughing matter. It's not anything to joke about. And for them to do that and take shots at these people, you know, I thought was just, I think it's out of line. That's just me. You know, I know you're trying to get heat and you're trying to, you know, match AEW on their promos, but man, I just think that's really painful to see. I don't know.
I actually thought it was even more interesting that usually WWE doesn't even bother acknowledging the any competition.
Yeah, the existence of...
Right, and on a Monday night, Edge flat out said, talk something to Miz about being referenced on another show.
Joe, what are your thoughts on all this right now? I mean, it's almost like WWE's going heel.
Well, it's like, you know, 30 years ago when Macho Man or DiBiase or any of these guys came in, as a kid, you didn't even realize that they existed because in the WWF world, there was no other wrestling. There was no Mid-South. There wasn't NWA. You know, Ric Flair might have been like the first guy that was actually acknowledged as a different champion, you know, in the business. And, you know, what you said, McAfee said, I find that kind of funny. You know, he's saying stuff that the average fan is going to go over their head. But when you specifically reference somebody, you know, all it does is give them credence, especially if you mention somebody who happens to be on AEW. But, you know, in the old days, John Morrison's name would be, you know, you'd probably get fined if his name came out of your mouth, you know. And, you know, I guess that's the way writers are writing things because, you know, I'm pretty sure back in the day, as we know, the promos were kind of, hey, here's an idea. This is what we need you to do, and you do your promo. Now it's kind of scripted word for word, and, you know, talking about The Miz. So The Miz is boys Morrison, so they feel, you know, that that's the way they're going to get heat. And, of course, that's why the promo is going to fail miserably like it always does, because it's not coming from the heart. So it's like, you know, they're trying to throw stuff against the wall. And as we said, you know, WWE doesn't think of AEW as their competition, and they still beat him, and we joke about it every week. But, you know, it takes time. You know, let's have this conversation in 18 months when the cool company AEW, you know, starts kicking in and more people being aware of it. That's the key. It's getting the people to be aware of AEW. You know, I talk to a lot of people and, you know, more and more people are knowing what is going on in the wrestling world. It's so much different back in the day. You know, like I said, with Ring of Honor, didn't exist to people. Impact didn't exist to people. It was WWE or nothing.
Right. And you know, it's almost like the WWE was taught to no-sell other companies.
Oh, absolutely.
And now, like I said, the fact that, and it wasn't just a minor reference, it was Edge making the reference. So it's coming out of a giant superstar's mouth talking about Morrison and talking about the fact that Miz was referenced on the other show.
Yeah, and of course, we're on the Mark Hoke Show. I'm Mark Hoke, along with Andrew Fishfane and Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling. And, you know, to kind of lead off that promo, this Miz and Edge combination just seems so clunky to me. And you and I were, you know, Fish, you and I were talking about this before we went on the air, that there's just nothing between them. This feud doesn't make any sense, except my assessment is, they are seeing what's going on with MJF and CM Punk in AEW, and they're trying to get two of their best promos together and recreate that. But it just seems really
forced.
Out of place. Yeah, forced and out of place.
Well, to me, it's kind of like, oh, crap, look at AEW. You know, they put him over. They put over The Miz. You know, he's just a cheap version of The Miz. So now it's like all of a sudden creative has something for The Miz. Hey, we got something to work with instead of making him relevant again. And it's like, you know, they did a miserable job of him and Morrison. So now they're hoping this is going to work. And it's like, I don't think most people were expecting, you know, Edge to come back and one of his feuds is going to be with another 15-year vet now instead of, you know, the hot. Not that Seth Rollins is young, but Seth Rollins is considered part of the new school. It's crazy how Miz isn't part of the new school anymore. He's a veteran. He's an old-timer, you know, when it comes to the WWE now.
Well, where is Miz's place in wrestling? In terms of his legacy, in terms of the respect that he has or doesn't have, I personally think that he gets a raw deal for what he's done. You know, and he's been put in some goofy programs, but you know that happens to most guys. But The Miz is really, you know, as someone who came out of reality TV into a world where, you know, he was not welcome for quite a while and earned his way in. And yeah, we hear about him main eventing WrestleMania all the time and so on and so forth. But The Miz has really been a workhorse for WWE. He didn't have any major injuries up until
the zombies.
The zombie apocalypse. And he's been there for WWE when they've needed him.
He has, and he's a great, and you said it, he's a great mic worker. And, you know, I think you're right, Miz does get a raw deal. You think of what he's done, he's been a world champion, and he this is one thing, and he likes to tout it, and I think it's very much true. He brought relevancy back to the Intercontinental Championship. He made that title mean something again. I think Miz TV, of all the barbershop and all of those, I think Miz TV is by far the best one that they've done, and they've kept it going. I think the character itself is a great character. I think Miz has done a great job with it, and he's marketed himself perfectly because now he's got the Miz and Mrs., and he's got, you know, the Marine movie franchise that he's done because of it.
Well, I wouldn't brag about that Marine franchise,
but still, it's still work for him, though.
You know, he's the guy that I immediately looked at. And I'm like, oh, this guy's a bum. You know, he could have turned out to be the next Jesse Goddard, but he isn't. You know, he became extremely relevant. He got himself over when they had him work that first program with John Cena. They tried to bury him, and he was one of the few who, after he got to that point where it's like, okay, let's break the ceiling, and Cena beat him, you know, it took a while, but he came back. And, yeah, he did, you know, headline WrestleMania because he got himself over enough to where he was warranted that second shot at being a star, and he took advantage of it. But the problem, again, with WWE is when you're around so long, it's like you have to reinvent ways to not be boring or people care anymore. You know, what did they do with Randy Orton? Well, they put him with Matt Riddle. Before that, you know, Randy Orton shows up for 4 or 5 months, works a program, and disappears for 6 months. So it's a little easier to do when you're not around. And up until recently, Miz was always around, and it was like, okay, well, he is kind of goofy, and hey, let's put him with his buddy Morrison. They love each other. They're buddies, you know. Miz was probably the best man at his wedding. And somehow they've ruined, you know, that. But, you know, The Miz has been, you know, shockingly to me, he became one of my favorite wrestlers when he was a guy. When I remember he turned on The Miz when they were ECW champions and they split at one of like the first, you know, when they did the Raw SmackDown, the drafts or whatever. And I was like, wow, they just made Morrison the baby face because Miz super kicked him. Like, we were supposed to like the Morrison now because he got super kicked by his buddy. And it was like, wow, that was horrible. But he overcame all that, and, you know, he's going to be a WWE Hall of Famer. If you asked JBL, you would have never believed that would ever happen.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I would also venture to guess that had Miz not gone to do Dancing with the Stars, that John Morrison would still be employed by the WWE.
Wow, that's a statement.
I don't know. We've seen the same thing when they brought Matt Hardy back, when they brought the Dudleys back, when, you know, Vince has like a different opinion of these guys. Like, they come back after being gone for years and it's almost like they're fodder for, you know, what's their job? Well, to make Happy Corbin look good.
Oh,
well,
good Lord.
That's hard enough to do.
Yeah, that's something that needs to go away.
And you know, with Morrison, just totally misused.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was another situation where they didn't acknowledge what happened outside of WWE. Morrison was out there winning the AAA title, winning the Impact title. This is a guy who has tremendous athleticism.
He was the Mecha Grand Champion, by God.
Yeah. And they decided that they're just going to take the easy way out
and make him an idiot
and put him in with Miz, and they turned him into a goofball. And this was a guy who, debatably, you know, was probably in the top 5 or 10 wrestlers in the world for a while before he came to WWE.
Guys, you're going to see, and he's
amazing.
You know, he can go way more than a lot of the newer guys can go. But those are the guys they're trying to build. And you know, Happy Corbin, he reminds me of A-Train Albert. That no matter how many failed gimmicks they had, they would continue to get them, while other people get one shot. Or Wade Barrett gets two shots, he succeeds in both, and they still somehow don't have a spot for him.
It's ridiculous. I do have a question, and I honestly am racking my brain. I cannot remember. Did Edge and Miz ever have a program back in the day when they were together?
Boy, I can't remember.
I don't believe so, and if they did...
Did they ever get into tag titles or anything like that?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember if there's any history between them at all.
Nah, Miz and Morrison when they were there, and Edge was busy wrestling, you know, Big Show and Jericho and
Mick Foley.
Yeah, I couldn't remember that.
See, he was in Orton. He was involved in the big feuds with the big guys at that time. You know, the biggest thing Miz had was Cena, and. You know, I'm pretty sure Edge was on SmackDown a lot. Well, Miz was on Raw, whatever it was.
Yeah,
so.
I just don't
but
remember
it's not
them
something people are like, oh, what a dream match, man. I want to see Miz and Edge.
Now, I will say this. I would love to see Edge and Beth Phoenix against Miz
and Maryse.
That would get me intrigued.
And maybe
she quit NXT. Maybe that's the long term storyline that we know WWE is capable of. Oh yeah, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah. but I wouldn't be shocked to see Beth Phoenix get involved because Maryse is involved because there is no John Morrison.
That'd be fun. I miss Maryse. Maryse was a terrific heel.
Yeah,
she really was. Oh my God, You love to see her, but you hate her guts.
When she slapped Matt Cardona's dad.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, she was something else. She was something else, that's for sure. We've got, I think, about a minute or two before coming up on break, so I don't want to dig too deep into some of our other topics. But just to mention a couple things about the show real quick. Of course, if you want to download our old shows, if you think, you know what, these guys are pretty cool. And Joe DeFalco's okay.
Oh, make of course, sure. Yeah. I'm at a different level, but yeah.
Head on over to markhokeshow.podbean.com. That's our main podcast site, but they're available on all of your favorite outlets. So go back and listen to some of those great shows we've had. And, of course, if you want to follow the show, at Mark Hoke Show on Twitter, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, and markhokeshow.com. That's kind of how it goes.
So who's this Mark Hoke fellow that seems to be everywhere all over these names?
Oh, he's just a guy. soon. I think Mike went on the air on that. We're going to break here shortly. But I just want to appreciate everybody who's been tuning in and downloading these podcasts. Man, we are all over the world. And it's awesome. And
the Maldives? Are we in the Maldives?
I don't think we hit there yet. But I want to thank Fish and Joe for doing a great job. I think we got a pretty darn good show. So.
North Korea? Have we hit North Korea yet?
No, we have not hit
North
Korea. Kim Jong-un
listens to the show?
No.
Hey, he's a big fan, I heard. Dennis Rodman.
Well, I wouldn't blame him. But yeah, we had some downloads in Gibraltar and... let's see who else just hit Sweden.
You know, you did it in Gibraltar. It
UAE.
Was The Rock.
I was just about to use a rock reference. See,
God,
you beat me to it.
Mike, start playing that music.
Great minds think alike, Joe.
Stick around. We're right back. We're going to talk about NXT's War Games coming up tonight. Cody Rhodes going through a table. and all sorts of
predictions,
all sorts of shenanigans. So stick around, everybody. We'll be right back on the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM, the Talk of Las Vegas.
One oh 1.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the Talk of Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Boom! I think Adam Cole still got me on that. I got to work on that one.
Mark Hoke Show. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Mark Hoke Show, best in professional wrestling news and entertainment here on KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM. Andrew Fishfane. You can follow him on Twitter at TheFish1969.
Boom!
That's the year I was born as well.
We're the same age? And I look so much younger.
No. No, you don't.
Wow, you guys are old.
Wow, DeFalco.
Ouch, what shot fired.
I am going on a website and doing a background check on DeFalco right now. Oh, just... Something's getting pushed there. Yeah,
but shots fired.
I don't know what's going on there, but Joe DeFalco.
Yeah, that was me. Okay. I had the keypad somehow popped on.
It's early in the morning, Joe. We understand.
Oh, Jimmy.
Hey, another one you didn't talk about. You want to talk about MLW had 4,100 more fans than NWA.
That's right.
About them.
MLW did have a huge card. They had about a 5,000 person draw the other night.
That's pretty amazing for them.
Well, I'll tell you, this independent scene. And you know, I mean, MLW, I'm not sure if it's even...
I kind of categorize them as a super indie because guys can kind of work everywhere. Hammerstone's our champ. And, you know, Limelight, they LAX with Slice Boogie. You know, those are guys that, you know, came out of that Cali scene and stuff. And, you know, they've really seemingly have built something really strong.
Yeah, it's exciting, and you've had good champions like Jacob Fatu and Hammerstone in there. I mean, it's a up and coming organization and on TV.
Did you see the Twitter beef? It wasn't even a beef. Braun Strowman.
Yes, I did see that.
Hammerstone. I said, let's make it happen.
I saw you hop in on that. That was
of course
pretty smart move. Yeah, we got to that one will pack the house. That,
you know, put your money where your mouth is. I hit up Strowman and said, "Let's go. Let's make it happen." And now all of a sudden it's radio silence. Maybe, you know, he wanted to talk the game, but maybe he doesn't want the young stud like Hammerstone.
Yeah, I think you scared him.
I think so. All of a sudden he went off the radar. I was like, you know, not only did I message him on Twitter, he had an email for business inquiries, and I hit him up, and it's like, you know, it's been 2 days. It isn't like he's done much the last 5 months, you know?
Get a triple threat with those two in Cage.
Well, then make it a four-way with Cross, because, you know.
Wow.
See, actually, the one match we're actually hoping to put together, but... You know, we're still trying to do, which we think would be the perfect match for Cross at Mecca, would be Malakai Black.
That would be
amazing.
Woo. Joe DeFalco, always promoting.
And I still think Malakai Black, even in AEW, is underused. I thought he was, that character and the way he wrestles is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Well, isn't that everybody's job to put over Cody Rhodes? I don't know.
Well, speaking of that.
Nice segue.
Perfect. Thank you. Cody Rhodes... of course, he's got a bird problem because the boo birds keep coming out on him, and he's trying to be the baby face, but he's really struggled with it. But they decided that this was going to be the big setup on Dynamite where he wrestled Andrade El Idolo in an Atlanta street fight. And of course, Cody's hometown is Atlanta. And those two guys, a great match, and Cody actually started getting some cheers. And then they did the flaming table of death spot. Apparently, Brandy doesn't want her husband to be comfortable at night. She came out with a table in the ring. They're up on the top rope, and Brandy is spraying this thing with two bottles of lighter fluid. I mean, doused that table.
Yeah, wow.
Lit it on fire, and then they... suplex themselves through the table, And then with Cody still on fire, got the pin. Got a good pop from the crowd. But the interesting part is that going to be enough that, you know, with Cody showing this effort and doing something like that to win back the fans of AEW and get the boo birds to go away?
No, because the part of the problem is he is perceived as this is, you know, he's one of the founders of the company. It's his company. So he's going to put himself over at any given chance. And so he's always, he's not going
to. But he hasn't. That's the thing. He hasn't.
But anytime
and maybe that's to his detriment. Maybe he should have.
Well, did he not? You know, he made himself the TNT champion for a while, but he's always in that high-profile spot. You know, there's a difference between winning matches and losing matches and things like that. And the problem is everybody hates his wife, okay? But, you know, and that's not only the fans, but everybody hates his wife. And, you know, I remember, you know, a few years back we were talking about trying to get Cody in when he was doing the Ring of Honor, and we were doing a woman's show, and the agent guy hit me up, and he was like, "Hey, bro, I saw you doing a women's show, and, you know, I'd love to have Brandi Rhodes come in," and boom. And I'm like, okay, isn't she like that ring announcer on NXT that, you know, is trying to wrestle a little bit? And then he threw out a price, and, like, her price was equivalent to Matt Hardy. And it was like, are you guys insane? Like, she puts herself as, you know, a top talent. And being that, you know, she's part of that initial signings to where, hey, she's in charge of this and they're in charge of that. You know, those AEW fans are a little different than the WWE fans, where they kind of dig. They see what's going on. They like knowing as much as they can about the inner workings. So because of the inner workings, that's why Cody's heel is a heel, not because of his in-ring work. It's the perception of him as somebody different than, for some reason, the Young Bucks, who get universally, you know, loved by the fans.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious if Cody can actually change this. And he's trying. I mean, there's no question.
Why does he need to? Why don't they just embrace, you know, wow.
Well, that's a good question.
You know, look at Roman Reigns. Nope. And then they finally did, and it's like, oh, wow, they got the best heel they've had in 30 years in the business because they finally went with it. And like I said, they did that great leukemia angle that, you know, got Roman Reigns over for the first time in his career. And now he's cured, and, you know, now they're doing their thing with him, and that's one of the only things worth watching on SmackDown.
Do you really think the whole leukemia thing was just an angle?
Well, I had written an angle like that about somebody a few years ago, and everybody was against me doing that angle because it was too offensive, because people get cancer, and it's like,
right.
Well, to me it was, okay, well, wrestling's supposed to be a, you know, kind of like a movie. Everybody's supposed to be actors. So how come in my movie we can't have somebody use cancer as a way to get ahead in a situation and turn the beloved character into a bad guy because he lied about it?
I mean, I love the idea there. See, I've always thought that he actually did have leukemia.
I just say that and I joke with our guys about it because it was one of our guys, Cutthroat Cody, and he went into this whole body transformation that I remember the first time I looked at him, like, what do you got, cancer? Because it was like the dude lost like 40, 50 pounds and he was so thin. It was like people could believe it. So, of course, my mind's thinking, hey, what would be a crazy, you know, angle? He's one of the, because he was what we would call the lovable loser back then. And he was a guy that was loved despite the fact he never really won. And this was going to be his way of overcoming. And, you know, never talked about it with the fans because, well, you know, people have had cancer. And it's like, yeah, but you watch a movie with a guy who has cancer. And it's like, you know, why is it taboo in the wrestling world? And, you know,
well, I think. If it was an angle, it did exactly what it was supposed to do, because you're right. He never was more over as a face than when he came back from having leukemia.
Right. And, if it was an angle, imagine if he used that, how over of a heel he would have been. Now, you know, some like to say cheap heat, but we've seen cheap heat used a million times. Why would this be any different?
Interesting. Well, going from Roman Reigns and cancer to war games. We got to get into the war games. So we got to make sure we talk about this. I have another topic I want to hit. A little tough one, but
yeah, I think the Horsemen are going over, man.
Yeah.
Arn and Tully, I think they're the secret ingredient for that one.
That would be great. I miss it. But we do have a NXT War Games tonight. And of course, this is not a takeover. Takeover title is gone. We don't call them takeovers anymore.
No, it's totally
can't,
different.
Can't do that. You know, even though you've had 7 years
This is
Shawn
Michaels NXT.
But War Games tonight, I don't know if we want to get too much into predictions on this, but I think the most intriguing situation coming into tonight is the War Games.
The men's War Games card.
The men's War Games match where you have the veterans against the young guys, and what is in all probability is going to be Johnny Gargano's last match tonight.
So you think Gargano's gone?
He signed an extension to get through War Games, just kind of like what Adam Cole did,
right?
For SummerSlam, and so we're going to see Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano on the same
DIY
team again.
back together again, sort of.
They'll be with Pete Dunne and LA Knight taking on Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Tony D'Angelo, and Grayson Waller.
Well, where's Sefa Fatu?
He's not in the match.
Oh, how is he not? He's like the second coming of the young guys. You know, they got Steiner's kid. That's positioned. He's got to beat the champ, you would think, right?
You know, and that's where I think this is probably going to end up. And, you know, I think, you know, unfortunately, I think for Ciampa, you know, his days in NXT are numbered too. I can't see them with the way they're doing things now in NXT, putting the stress on the young guys to bring Ciampa back for another contract.
Loser leaves town match because, you know, LA Knight's up there in age and Gargano's leaving and Ciampa's old for their standards. If they want to clear house, it should be a loser leaves town match.
And I will say that Pete Dunne is woefully underutilized. I think he had the opportunity to be an absolutely fantastic wrestler on either show, Raw or SmackDown. I think he's completely underutilized in NXT.
Well, LA Knight's getting wasted too. Now, it was Eli Drake. He's terrific. I like his work as well. So this could be a...
You know what? I just don't see him as an NXT guy. You know, he can cause a lot of damage on the main roster. He's a veteran. He's been around. It's like, you know, in all honesty, it's like bring the guy up or get rid of him. You know, not that obviously you'd want to be getting rid of, but it's like the way NXT is going, you know, he's made for the main roster. He's a guy who can, you know, almost be like a mini Miz, you know what I mean? Where, you know, he gets under people's skin. He's a good enough worker, but he's fantastic on the microphone.
Yep, I agree.
Because he is Eli Drake.
Yeah, this is going to be the fallout from, you know, not just what happens in the ring, because I think that the elder statesmen are going to lose this match tonight.
I think so.
But the fallout from when this is all done, Johnny Gargano, does he re-sign? I don't think so. Ciampa, really, I would love to see him get a run on the main roster. But from what I understand, he really doesn't want it.
No, he wants to stay in NXT.
He wants to stay in NXT, but he doesn't fit that philosophy. And I've seen some interviews where he's kind of resigned to the fact that, you know, this is going to be the last run in NXT. You know, LA Knight, what do you do with him? Does he fit into this? Pete Dunne is a guy who I don't know. I
mean, and they had paired him with Ridge Holland, and they moved Ridge Holland up and left Pete Dunne down in NXT. Like I said, I think Pete Dunne has a chance. Would it be fantastic on the main roster as well?
Yeah, but he's not a Vince.
He's an older guy, like what I felt Aleister Black could have been. It was like Pete Dunne was that type of guy. You know?
Absolutely.
And again, when you have too many people, you know, it's easy to get lost by the wayside, you know. Again, Aleister Black is the character, the personality. It's like it's that larger than life guy that you think Vince McMahon would love, and you know sometimes you scratch your head. He's the same guy that was pushing Albert and Test and any big guy he had to the moon. And for some reason, these guys have come in and Cross and all them, and somehow, whether it's the perception of, you know, Triple H made them and not them, and they have to recreate their character and Bearcat Lee or whatever it is, it's just, you know, you shake your head more than you're like, wow, this Bloodline storyline's good. And it's like, I always say, they're capable, but for some reason they choose not to, which I have a hard time understanding, and it's really made me become not really a WWE fan anymore, and it has nothing to do with the wrestlers. It has to do with the way everything is presented.
Exactly. I agree with you 100% on that.
And I think that's all on, obviously all on Vince, and it's Vince's vision, which is past its prime.
Yeah. So, you know, and another match on this card with another guy who could be on his way out the door. We got Imperium defending the NXT tag titles against Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner. Kind of a weird team there with O'Reilly and Wagner, but Kyle O'Reilly is another one who
is they're going to recreate the Undisputed Era, because at some point then is Roderick Strong going to be done too?
Well, and I don't know what Roderick Strong's contract status is. I heard he was re-signed or something along, but rumors. But I think that O'Reilly is probably going to be headed out the door too. So this is a transition night to me for NXT.
I think that crew's tighter, even though Roderick Strong has been with them. When he was in Ring of Honor, that wasn't the click. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, when Kyle O'Reilly and Fish and the Young Bucks and all those guys, you know, Roderick Strong, you know, I never heard in that click. You know, I know him and Kenny were tight, and that was just a different crew. You know what I mean? And, you know, they end up together, and they were the Ring of Honor guys that ended up together. But I don't see, you know, Roderick Strong being like Adam Cole or Kyle O'Reilly, because that's not their crew. So is it probable that they would want him? Sure. They want everybody, we've learned. So, you know, but what's going to be best for Roderick Strong? You know, I think he's probably pretty happy in where he's at, while the other guys, they can see themselves being in bigger positions. Because I look at it as like, these guys are still in the minor leagues of WWE. So why wouldn't they go on national TV, on TNT, compared to, I know they're on USA NXT, but that's the perception. The perception is, it's the minor leagues. It's AAA. Regardless.
Go ahead.
I'm saying, regardless, you know, Finn Balor or anybody you want to bring in, it's AAA. When you become good enough, you get called up to the majors, which is Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, absolutely. And I wonder, you know, you're speaking of Gargano, if I don't know what Candice LeRae's contract status is, but, and in general, it doesn't seem to matter if the one member of the family is on WWE and the other one is not. But I wonder if her contract status has anything to do with Johnny Gargano and his choice.
Well, I heard because of the pregnancy and the time away that she's gotten, you know, a bunch of months, you know, lopped on to the end of the contract.
Right.
But again, they're both based out of Florida, so it doesn't really matter who you work for. It's like Impact's in Nashville and AEW's in Jacksonville and WWE's in Orlando. So they don't really run as many house shows as they ever did, and AEW almost never runs a house show. So you're home all the time, so it doesn't even matter. You know, I highly doubt Gargano's going to re-sign because his wife's there, because if he re-signs, then his wife's contract's going to end, because it's never going to be at the same time.
Right.
You know, it's like the Hardys, you know. Matt didn't have a good enough offer. He left. You know, Jeff, they added time on. Now the question is, does Jeff, when he's done, does he finally go? Because he had a lot of time added onto his contract.
And speaking of that, by the way, we've heard that the Hardys want to reunite at some point. I find it really interesting right now that Jeff is getting a big push right now. People are starting to want to see him have another run. And the other guy who, you know, with these contracts coming up, is Kevin Owens, who's getting a huge push right now on Raw. you know, what is going on there, especially with Kevin Owens, because his contract's up in about, I think, in late January.
Yeah.
So, you know, are they just trying to butter Kevin Owens up? Or
I think it's obvious that Vince McMahon realizes how many people he's lost to AEW, and whether he views them as competition or not, they are taking some of his wrestlers. So I got to believe that he believes that Kevin Owens is a guy that's worthy of keeping, so he's doing what he can to try to keep him.
I look at it as they know he's going to leave, and he also knows that he's extremely talented. The crowd gets behind him. That, you know, how many times have we seen, you know, a big name guy, you know, have to do the favor on the way out? Well, what better favor to do than, you know, to put over the champion instead of some mid-card guy? So you give Owens that one big last run, and the people think, oh, you know, and again, I could be wrong, but Of all the people, Owens is way tighter with the Young Bucks and the crew than Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. You know, those, you know, they're the Mount Rushmore. They're, you know, Adam Cole, the Bucks, and Owens. That, you know, that was the crew, and then they were the, you know, they were like the
click.
The NWO Red. You know what I mean? And it's like to me, you know, Kevin Owens is getting paid a lot of money in WWE, but I could see him like the Moxley route, to where he knows he's going to make money wherever he goes. So the question becomes my happiness, and I could hang out with my boys, and they're going to tell me what a fun atmosphere it is in AEW, and I don't have to like worry that I just said something on commentary that Vince takes offense to, and now I'm going to be off, or I'm going to be buried for 6 months. And, you know, we haven't heard that about AEW, you know, not that Brian Cage has been getting a lot of love. But other than that, you don't hear a lot of, you know, grumblings with as many guys as they have as at least being, you know, not treated well.
Yeah, and I think that with Kevin, the matches that he had with Roman Reigns a while ago were absolutely phenomenal.
Oh,
that was terrific work, even though he didn't win, and I wish he would have. You know, that I admit it. I am a mark for Kevin Owens. I think Kevin Owens is fantastic. And
right, and they have him go over there in SmackDown. They have him, you know, do the job to their champion. They bring him over to Raw. They set him up to wrestle, you know, Big E. You know, that's a big angle for Big E. So now, It to me, it's like they're having Owens, you know, do the favor and take care of business against the two biggest stars they have, because they do know how good he is. So it's like, well, might as well utilize it and have him put over the champs, because people are going to care. People are going to pay attention, because Kevin Owens is a guy who I'm pretty sure, despite Vince McMahon's early thinkings of him, probably did grow to like him a lot and see, like, you know, wow, this guy is extremely talented. He gets the crowd really into him. You know, he's awesome on the microphone. You know, we're going to be okay with the fact that, you know, he's not the perfect size for Vince McMahon.
Well, the story I've heard, speaking of Big E, and I don't know how true this is, that Vince McMahon wanted to thank Big E for everything he's done, and that's why he gave him the title reign, but he's not happy with his title reign because he thinks the character itself is a little too goofy to be a champion. So he's going to, the Big E's going to lose the belt at day one, probably to Seth Rollins. I think Kevin Owens does the job to Seth Rollins, if anything, not to Big E.
Well, that is definitely a possibility, but Big E was made that character by Vince McMahon and WWE. You know, they made the New Day as goofy as possible when they didn't have to.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but all of a sudden, I am intrigued by this day one pay-per-view. I think this is so far, you know, with your two world title matches, I'm intrigued to see, because I was really surprised to see that they're doing Lesnar and Reigns
at day one.
On day one. Which is going to be January 1st before the Rumble. You know, and then you've got a really good WWE World Championship match, you know, the triple threat we've been talking about. And we're going to get the Usos and the New Day. I think this is going to be worth watching.
Shaping up to be a good card. I think that they had to put Lesnar and Reigns here because I still think they're holding out hope that WrestleMania is going to be The Rock and Reigns. Whether it's going to be or not, I don't know, but I think that's what they're holding out hope for, and so they couldn't put Lesnar in WrestleMania with Reigns right now. That's not the plan.
Yeah, but you know, should be an intriguing New Year's Day.
Right, but are they going to have Lesnar go over Reigns, or is he going to lose again?
Yeah, well, and I don't.
He really lost at the other one.
Yeah, I am intrigued to see the decision that they make on this pay-per-view.
And what they're going to do with Paul Heyman, which is always intriguing to me, is how they're going to play that Heyman character.
I think you should just put him with Big E. I'm still on that. See, that's my little thing
guy?
Right now. Make Big E a Heyman guy. That would be all right.
Well, so then that makes him a lot more serious because he's going to now be a heel.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, that's a way they could go as well. But I'm very intrigued by this pay-per-view. And it's funny because the women's division was, for the longest time, one of the best things going in WWE. And now I couldn't care less about either side of the women's division, the Raw or SmackDown.
Xavier Woods tries to help Big E. It costs him the match. He destroys Xavier Woods and Kofi, and then he turns heel and wins the title as the heel champion.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys. Well, we are getting ready to wrap another great show up. Andrew Fishfain, Joe DeFalco, thank you very much. I'm Mark Hoke here on The Mark Hoke Show. Make sure, once again, markhokeshow.podbean.com for this podcast. Mark Hoke Show on Twitter, The Mark Hoke Show on Facebook. Las Vegas, thank you again for another terrific time. We appreciate it. We will see you next week. Probably get on Saturday and then once again on Sunday here on KDWN. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Have a good one.
Have a really good one.
Have a really, really good one.
Really, really good one.